Well, hallelujah. Have you found Jesus? Hallelujah. Well, he is deep. Amen. He is the well that never runs dry. Hallelujah. Are you excited this morning? Are you looking forward to the move of God in your life? Hallelujah. You know, God is always doing new things in the midst of us and among us, and it is always exciting because you never know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. It could be in your personal life. It could be in the life of some friend or coworker, or it could even be something that happens in the world. God can show up in powerful ways in the midst of our life. And when he shows up, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And the awesome thing about it is that wherever you go, you represent the power of God. Wherever you go, you represent the power of God. That means you are the agent of the Spirit of God. And God is always using his people to represent him in situations and circumstances. And when things happen, how we respond and how we react is conducive to the flow of God in your life. And when you're tapped into God, God can flow right through you and have an impact on whatever the situation is in a powerful way. That is the role of the believer today. That is why we're still in the world. We are here as the agents of God. Hallelujah. That ought to be exciting. I'm going to tell you, that ought to be exciting. You ought to wake up in the morning and say, okay, God, I'm ready. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. And let God have his way. And just be looking for opportunities to represent God throughout the day. Hallelujah. Because you know the devil is going to be there. Oh, he's going to be there. He's going to show up. But you ought to be expecting him. You ought to say, yeah, I've been waiting for you. I'm ready. I'm already plugged in. So that when the Spirit of God is ready to flow, when the devil rises up, the Word of God says, God will raise up a standard against him. And that is what makes life so exciting. Because you never know what God is going to give you to use as a hammer to whack out the devil's works, hallelujah, and the manifestations of evil. And that's why we ought to be excited. I don't know. Come on. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And God is looking for people to use. He's just looking for people to pour into. And that's who we want to be. We want to be those vessels that God can pour into. And that's why we're talking about the outpouring of God. And we're always looking for a move of the Spirit of God, and we want God to pour into us. But we're not ready to be to receive what God is willing to pour out. Because God is already looking. He is looking for people to use, so that he can pour himself into. So you get up and say, Lord, fill me, Lord. Fill me up. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with yourself. Oh, God. And so we get ready. We get ready to receive of God. Right? Hallelujah. How many of you drink from a dirty cup? No. You wash that thing out. Sometimes you look at a cup, it's supposedly clean, right? It's in the cupboard where it belongs. But you take it out, you look at it, you go, let me rinse this one out just one more time. Well, that's what the Word of God will do. The Lord, when you get up in the morning, you get in the Word, say, Lord, just open the Word of God and say, Lord, refresh me. Rinse me out one more time before I step out there so I can be guaranteed ready, so that whatever the Lord pours out, you're ready to receive it. Hallelujah. I'm just giving it as it comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we are talking about the outpouring of the Spirit of God today. And I tell you, there is nothing more exciting than a downpour of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Have you ever been caught in the rain before? Have you ever been caught in the rain? Oh, man. Yesterday, they told me it was going to rain. I was all kind of prepared for it to rain yesterday. And that was all week long. They were talking about the rain. And I said, yeah, we're going canoeing and kayaking out on the lake. I was waiting for the rain. It never came. No rain. But today, the rain is coming down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So for today's sermon, we're all going out to the parking lot. Hallelujah. So we can experience a downpour, an outpouring of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I might fool you one day. It won't be today, but I might. Oh, don't you put it past me, I'll tell you. Hallelujah. You never know how it's going to go. But God is awesome, and there's something about being caught in the rain, when the rain is coming down and the cool wind is blowing, and oh, you get that refreshing wind that blows, and there's just something about it. Everybody runs, but there can be too much water, isn't that right? Oh, when there's flooding, oh, when there is an outpouring where there's a flood of water, now things start to get a little hairy, isn't that right? Oh, it gets a little bit funky, especially now with all the computers and cars, and you're driving along and you think, I can make it. In the old days, we used to do that. You'd see floodwaters and be like, oh, this is going to be great. And you want to drive in and like, whoosh, you'd want to flash the water up and splash everything and everywhere. But now you can't do it anymore because all your computer parts, literally every part in your car has a computer attached to it. And if it does anything, I had the switches changed for my windows because they couldn't get the windows to go up and down. And they changed the switch and they still couldn't get it to work. So I had to take it to the dealer. And the dealer said, oh, you forgot to program the computer. You got to tell, the computer has to tell the switch what it is and what it's supposed to work. And they were like, what? There's a computer for the switch? Oh, saints of God, there's a computer for everything in a car. And guess what? There's a computer that God is working in our lives. The Spirit of God is the one who tells us what to do with your hands, with your feet, with your mouth, with your life. Everything about you, the Spirit of God is the computer controller. And the Spirit of God gives you the power to carry it out. Hallelujah. And that is why we need the anointing of the Spirit of God. And even when there is a downpour of rain, when it's overflowing, God has the ability to give us direction. He has the ability to sustain us and to keep us. And when the flood waters are high, this is a high flood water here. My goodness, could you imagine living here? No, I couldn't either. But somebody did. And I tell you, they're not happy right now. They're disappointed. They are sad because they lost everything when water gets this high. And God is our redeemer. He is the one who saves us. He is the one who makes a way for us. He will turn the flood waters into kayaking waters. Hallelujah. This is kayaking water right here. This is what you want to be in when you're kayaking. You want the rapids. And the water is able to be channeled. Why? Because the water is where it belongs, in the river. Hallelujah. Not going down the street and your house and your backyard and flooding out all of your stuff. But when the water is where it belongs, it's a blessing. And when things are in the right place, life is a blessing. And you and I are able to see that happening as God leads us and guides us. In James 5:7, our lead verse for today, it says, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. Hallelujah. The early and the latter rains. And saints of God, God wants to rain down in your life. He wants to bring an outpour of the Spirit of God into your life. He wants to pour provision. He wants to make a way. He wants to do amazing and incredible things in the midst of our lives. We just have to learn how not to panic when the rain comes, but allow it to do what God has called it to do so that you and I can reap the benefits of the fruit of God, so that we can see that the Lord really is good and he is able to sustain us and keep us. And so today's sermon title is Downpours. Hallelujah. Downpours. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would go before us and that you would make a way for us, that you would show yourself again and again and again. Help us, Lord, to be the people you've called us to be, that we would not operate in fear or dismay or be in a place of being overwhelmed, but that we would be able to see the hand of God make provision for us as he opens doors that no man can shut, as he makes a way even when it seems impossible, even as he is our guard and our shield, even as he enables us to experience all of the goodness of the Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, O God. Amen and amen. Well, there is nothing better than experiencing God for yourself. And we have been talking about this as we reflect on the accomplished redemptive work of Christ on the cross. And even as Jesus was doing all that he did to demonstrate that he is the Son of God and that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you and I, we are the children of God. The Word of God says that we're even joint heirs with Christ. It paints the picture that Jesus is our older brother. And you and I have to understand that when you belong to the family of God, there is certain experiences that you ought to be having simply because of who you are in Christ. And when you understand who you are and what Christ has accomplished for you, it will cause you to behave like the child of the king that you are and not like the peasant person who is just out there trying to survive in the world. And you and I have to remember who we are. We are not like other people. God has called us. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." In other words, we obey. We do the things that Jesus has called us to do. In fact, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things that I say?" And he's implying that if I'm your Lord, then you ought to be doing whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm asking you to do. Because whatever the Father does, that's what I'm doing, and I'm asking you to do whatever I'm doing. Amen. And that is why Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And so you and I are called to go forth in this generation. Each generation has to fend for itself regarding the things of God. Each generation has to make a stand for itself regarding the kingdom of God. And that is why we have to train up the children in the way that they should go, so that when they're older, they won't depart from it, because they will understand who they are and whose they are, and they will understand their vision and the purpose of their lives. And that only comes through the downpour of the Spirit of God in our lives. It ought to be raining in your house. Hallelujah. If it's not raining in your house, then don't expect it to rain anywhere else. Because the first place the rain needs to come in is at home. It needs to come into your home. It needs to come into your life, into your house, into your life experience. It's got to be personal. You have to experience God for yourself. No one can do it for you. No one can do it for you. only God and you. And to the extent that we surrender ourselves to God, that's the extent that God can pour in. And God says, listen, I've got plenty for you that will not run dry. And God will pour and pour and pour as long as you are willing to receive. Hallelujah. And that is what we see over and over again in the Word of God. Do you know that 6 inches of water can drown a person? Did you know that? You can drown in 6 inches of water. That's that much water. 6 inches of water. You can slip and fall face first into the ground, and before you can pull your head up, you can suck in water and drown. Water levels in flash floods are also able to rise in a short period of time. They can rise a whole foot in 5 minutes. Think about that. When the downpours and the rain comes down, it doesn't take long for flooding to occur. Rain coming down in 5 minutes can rise up before you even realize it. Even a canyon or some place where water can flow and collect can rise 10 to 30 feet almost immediately because of the magnitude of the water coming down. And the water can then just pick up speed and rush downstream. And there is power in moving water. There is power in water that's alive. And that's why the Word of God is known as living water. Hallelujah. It's known as living water. The more you receive it into your life, the more powerful it becomes. And it can flush out everything that is in its path that is contrary to what it is that it needs to accomplish and to do. And if you can just abide, hallelujah, in the Word of God, you can be made completely new. You can be completely transformed. In Acts 1:4, we see, as we've talked about last week, that there was this gathering together at the command of Jesus by the disciples in the upper room. And it says that he commanded them to stay in Jerusalem, not to leave, but to wait for the promise of the Father, that which the Father had promised and that Jesus had testified about earlier. And you and I have to understand this because it's important to recognize that Jesus is doing whatever the Father told him to do. He's following a script. There is this consistency in the Word of God that God wants us dependent upon him. Not take things for granted. Not just assume that we know or that we can do it on our own. God says, I just want you to acknowledge me. I just want you to recognize that I'm the computer controller in your life. Everything needs to go through me. You might be tapped into the battery, but the battery is controlled by me. The power of the battery is controlled by the circuitry of the computer that directs its power. And God wants to have that authority in our life. God wants to be able to direct us. And we understand this principle in Acts 1:4 because it helps us to understand what was about to happen. And whenever God is about to do something, he always gives direction. He always gives people the understanding of what they need to do in order to be ready to receive. He doesn't always connect all of the dots. He doesn't always give you the reason behind things. He just tells you what to do. And we don't always know what's going to happen when we do what God tells us to do. But we do know that just from what we see in the Word of God, every time God asked someone to do something that they didn't understand until later what there was going to happen or what God was going to do with the thing that he told them to do, we do know that something powerful always happened. And something amazing always happens. And when you and I obey the Word of God, when we apply it in our lives, we can expect that God wants to do something powerful in our lives. And so the disciples, they understood this and they obeyed Jesus. And so here in Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 and 14, God says to Noah, he says, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." And so here is God telling Noah that he is going to destroy the earth. Now, I'm sure Noah was thinking, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. But, okay, God, fine. I understand. Are you going to kill everybody? And so he's thinking this through, and I'm sure it was a very strange thing to hear God say. Now, one of the things that I always have to keep reminding myself when I read through the Word of God is that God didn't speak to people every single day all the time, right? So sometimes God would say something and then just expect the people to do it or not do it and then wait to see what would happen. And here is Noah having this encounter with God, and God is giving him some insight into what is about to happen. And so if Noah has faith, then he will believe and obey the word of the Lord. And verse 14 says, "Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch," which is like a tar, right? And so here's God telling them to build an ark. Now, I'm sure Noah didn't even know what an ark was, but God told him exactly what to do, and more interesting, he told him what to build it out of. It wasn't just to be made of any kind of wood, but it was to be made of gopher wood. That is important because God is giving details that are germane to the end result. And there's no room for Noah to kind of make little, design changes based on his personal creative whims. God is giving specific direction. And this is important to understand when it comes to the things of God. We have to make sure we're following the specific directions, that we're not taking creative liberties of our own that go against the specific plan of God. We have to learn how to hear with ears to hear and see with eyes to see. That means you've got to be detail oriented in your listening and in your seeing. See beyond what is to be seen. See the unseen. Hear the unhearable. That is what God is bringing to light. He is revealing to us, to his people. And so the first thing that we learn here is that an outpouring of God can cause flooding, right? That means God is saying, I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to wipe out the evil of mankind, and I am going to send the rain. The rain is going to come down, and you need to build this ark. So God is letting him know that this is about to happen. Now, why is this significant? It's significant because God didn't just show up talking every day. They lost that when the garden was closed, right? When the Garden of Eden was closed and everybody was put out, the walking with God, the interacting with God on a daily, regular basis, that was over. And so now God would show up in certain periods of time in people's lives in order to give them direction so that they would take a certain path, so that they would begin to do a specific thing. And the work of God that God has given Noah is going to take time. And so often, God gives us direction, and it's often something that's going to take time. It's going to take time for you to fully walk it out or to experience it or to do it. But along the way, we get discouraged Because we want more. We want more than what we already have. And God is saying, walk out what I've already given you. Walk out what I've already given you. When you get to the intersection down the road where you need to do something different, I will meet you there. And God will meet you at the point of where the shift needs to take place. Until then, we keep doing what God has called us to do. We still walk in obedience. We still do the things that God has called us to do. There are fundamentals in our Christian faith, in our relationship with God, that always keep going. They never stop, right? Meditating on the Word of God day and night, praying without ceasing. We never stop praying. We never stop interceding. We fellowship with one another. We're never to stop fellowshipping. It's a commandment of God. We never stop worshiping. We never stop praising God. We never stop seeking out people to share the gospel with and to testify and to share our story and to share our life experiences with so that God can be glorified. We never stop talking about what God is saying and doing. These are basic fundamentals. Every Christian knows this, right? I mean, it's not like you need a degree in theology to know that you ought to be doing these basic fundamental things. And these are the everyday things. We do this every single day. And God says, if you do this every single day, I will let the rain come down in your life. And the more you walk in obedience, the more God fills you up. And he will fill you and fill you. And he will wash over you and he will cleanse you. And he will make you ready for when the floodgates open. And God will do amazing things in your life. In Acts 2:1, it's reminds us that on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place. They all were together in one place. God was going to meet them in a specific place. There is no, oh, well, I'll say God will show up. He'll show up at your house, your house, your house, your house, my house. You'll show up over there. No, but they were told to go to one place so that they could all have the same experience and encounter in God. And that is ultimately the purpose of the church. God has called the people together so that we can all connect as hands and feet and arms and legs so that we can become a part of the body of Christ. There's no being a part of the body of Christ if you're detached from a local body. The idea is that we're all connected together so that we can do something locally. Hallelujah. It begins in Jerusalem. Then we outreach to Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Basic, fundamental Christian understanding, right? Simple. And so when we all detach, then your hand is over here, your leg is over there, you got your feet over there. Some people even want to pull toes off and they want to do something. How can the body function? We'd be like this. Trying to get things done because people are detached. And this is what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to pull apart the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And we've seen this, especially over the past couple of years, where there's this pulling apart and there's this separation so that people cannot be in the one place where we're all together so the Spirit of God can come in to their lives. So God has called us to be in one accord. That's what it means, to be in one place. Not watching those who are on one accord, but actually being in the place, in the space. Otherwise, Jesus, he could have stayed in heaven and just directed everything. But he did not. He showed up in the midst of humanity, became a man, a human being, so that he could connect with us, so that he could demonstrate the kingdom of God is at hand, and that there would be a move of God that would go through the people. The Old Testament is God directing from heaven, trying to get it to work, and people just didn't get it. So Jesus had to show up, because it took more than just the words of obedience and people doing the right thing, because people don't listen and do the right thing. You needed the power of the Spirit to pull you together. And when the Spirit of God comes into your life, He pulls your life together. He begins to pull everything together. He pulls the body together, the people together, your family together, your everything about you starts coming together. And the Spirit of the Lord begins to orchestrate and direct your life. And the Spirit of God begins to use you in powerful ways that you otherwise would not have experienced. And so in Genesis chapter 7, we see that Noah finally has the ark completed 120 years later, right? Think about that. Hallelujah. 120 years later, he wasn't going, "Oh, I'm getting too old for this. I can't do it anymore. I'm an old man. Oh, Somebody help me carry this hammer over. I'm in 120 years trying to get this thing together." Oh, no, that's not the way it was it? Noah was fresh, man. He was 120 years in. He was like, "All right, we're getting this thing done." And that's because when you focus on the will of God and the work of God and the things of God, how old you are becomes irrelevant. Your physical condition becomes irrelevant. All of a sudden, you're just focused on obeying God, and God keeps pouring in. God keeps pouring in. He keeps moving in the midst of your life. Even if you feel something, you don't even realize it a lot of times, because you're doing such a good work in the Lord that you persevere in God. And all the little things that would normally hinder you or hold you back, they're not able to hinder you. They're not able to hold you back. You're able to persevere in God because the Spirit of God is giving you power. And when you're operating in the Spirit of God, God gives you power. He strengthens you. He enables you. The sad thing is so many people don't understand it because they don't persevere in God enough to get to that point because of the distractions in the world. And we do a little bit of work here, then we go and we do something else. Then we do a little bit of work, then we come back and we do. God says you got to stay consistent. Stay consistent. The one thing Satan wants to rob us of is consistency. Consistency. Being able to walk with God, to meet with God. Once Adam and Eve stopped meeting with God in the garden, the devil showed up. And the devil showed up and broke off the fellowship with God. And Satan has been using the same tactic ever since. If he can distract us with the things of this world, the things that satisfy the flesh, all the things that entice us, all the things that we have an interest in or desire for, he tries to use it as the proverbial carrot, right, before the horse. And the next thing you know, you're going off in a direction that you really didn't intend to go in. And God says, stay in this place. Stay in this place. And so Noah did. He stayed faithful. He stayed faithful building the ark. God said, build the ark. We're going to build this ark. We're going to keep building it. We're going to do it. He suffered ridicule and scorn. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. The people were going on. His whole community, everyone in the whole area, the word went out. Hey, there's this crazy man building an ark in the desert, in a place where there's no water. He's building this huge boat, and he says that something called rain is coming. Hallelujah. Because they'd never heard of rain. It didn't exist. Before the flood and the rain, the water would come up like dew and water the earth. It didn't come down from clouds. It came up. The dew would dissipate into the air and water the trees and the plants. And so this is the first time rain ever happened. And so Noah, he enters the ark, and he gets in with his whole household. The word of God tells us here in verse 1 of 7, "You and all your household, for you alone, have seen to be righteous." before me in this time. And I want to submit to you that God is considering this time. This time, meaning the time that you are alive, in your life, in this day and age. God wants to see, he is looking for the righteous. He is looking for those who will do things right. That's what it means to be righteous. To be righteous means you did what God said to do, and you did it right. Hallelujah. That's pretty simple, right? And so the righteous is not that you're some perfect, you know, individual who's never made a mistake in your life and everything is 100%. No, you are righteous because you did what God said to do, and you did it right. You did it right. And Noah is seen to be righteous because whatever God asked him to do, he did it. He obeyed the word of God. He obeyed the voice of God. And that's a very simple lesson, isn't it? It's very simple. What does God say about it? Well, God says it ought to be like this. Well, then just do that. Just do it that way. Nothing supernatural, nothing the Spirit of God. Oh, believe me, I'm in. I love that, man. I'm ready. Come on. Smack me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, it's in the simple things. Just do what God has called you to do. Just obey the word of God. Apply it in your life. Don't worry about all that other stuff. It will happen when God moves. God will show up, and he will do powerful things in our lives. We have to get back to the basics, the simple things, and just be faithful over the few things so that God can deem you ready or righteous for the great things. Hallelujah. And so Noah was in this place. Hallelujah. And there was this outpouring of rain that came in. Hallelujah. And as the rain came down, it was a powerful force. And you know, rain can be a powerful force. The wind and the storm rains that come in, they're a powerful force. As we talked about earlier, 6 inches of rain can drown a person. Did you know that 7 miles per hour of moving water has the same force of hurricane and tornado wind speeds of an E5 tornado? Hallelujah. Powerful. Water moving at 25 miles an hour has the same pressure or the ability to impact as a wind that is traveling at 790 miles per hour. Just 25 miles an hour of moving water. That's the power that exists in the water. It's faster than the speed of sound. Hallelujah. Did you know that? That's incredible. That is amazing. And so it's not an unusual thing that God is bringing in rain, that he's bringing in this water force to do damage, to wipe out the earth and the world. Verse 13 of Genesis 7 says, on the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them entered the ark. Oh, they all went into the ark. And there was this move of God. It says those that entered were male and female of the flesh. Interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Gee. Well, we'll just pause here for just a moment. Yeah. Nobody else got on that ark. I'm just saying. He entered as God had commanded him, right? The command of God. And the Lord did what? He sealed it up behind him. He closed it. He closed up the ark. That means God closed the door once they got in. Why? Because it was probably too big for those guys to pull in, to try to close it. Only God could close it. Because not only did it have to be closed, it had to be sealed from the outside so it didn't leak. They didn't have rubber gaskets and all the technology that we have now. They had to put the tar up over it. So God closed the door, and ensured that it did not leak. And saints of God, when God gives us direction and we follow the leading of God and the direction of God, whatever the idiosyncrasies are, the little details, God can seal them all up. God can fill in the gaps. Where you fall short, where you're too weak, God will come in and he will be your strength. He will make a way. He will cause things to come together. All we have to do is do what the Lord says. Just obey the word of the Lord. Verse 17 says, then the flood came upon the earth for 40 days, and the water increased and lifted up the ark so that it rose above the earth. Oh, saints of God, the flood waters are good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the water came in, notice the flood, the rain came in for 40 days. And over that period of time, the water was able to lift up that ark that took 120 years to build. How big and how heavy is that ark? Oh, it's huge. Have you been to Tennessee to see the replica? You should go. And I tell you, that thing is huge. It is huge. And the rain was able to lift it up. The floodwaters was able to lift it up. And I'm sure that it was able to do so because just a 25-mile-an-hour flow of water has a 790-pound force. Hallelujah. And if it rained for 40 days enough to lift up that ark, I tell you what, that thing could move a lot faster than 25 miles an hour. It had a lot more power than that operating in the midst of it because God is all powerful. There is nothing God cannot do. There is nothing impossible with God. Man may not understand it. God can show up with things that we have never even heard of or even discovered yet. And there are many things, I'm sure, that man has no idea even exist. And God has got them working right now. Hallelujah. So you and I, we know that God can do all things. And if God can do all things, what does the word of God say about you and I as the children of God? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. Who what? Strengthens me. He gives me strength. I'm operating in the strength of God, not in my flesh, but in the strength of the Spirit of God. In other words, as I push, God comes alongside me and pushes with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the thing that I could not move becomes easy to move because I have the help of God. Come on. What is God calling you to do? Oh, saints of God. Oh, there is nothing that is impossible for us. Do not underestimate what God can do in a person's life. God can transform anybody's life. It may seem impossible right now. Somebody might seem totally lost and way out there, like you can't get through to them. You can't reach them. They may be running from you. You might be trying to get them. Maybe it's a loved one or a friend or someone that you deeply care about, and you're trying to get them with the word of God to understand. But guess what? You don't have to chase after them. The hand of the Lord is mighty, and he can save. Hallelujah. God can reach beyond our reach, and he can reach in a way that you and I, we can't even imagine there's a way, because everything needs to be done with a specific detail, a certain particular way. This is why parents can say things to their kids 100 times and they'd be like, ah, and then they go somewhere and they hear some wacko say it. And they're like, wow, that was profound. And then they come home, oh, I learned this and I discovered that. And you're like, I've been telling you that for 10 years. What are you talking about? No, there's just something about the way it came across on TikTok. Hallelujah. And so the floodwaters, they came in. And it rained enough to lift up the ark. And saints of God, God wants to lift you up. when the rain is coming in, it may look like you're going to drown, like it's going to be overwhelming, but really God is just lifting you up, because the blessings and the curse often come together. Oh, what is a curse for others can be a blessing for you. And while others are being overwhelmed and they're drowning and they're struggling and they're fighting because of your relationship with God, you are walking in obedience. You've done what God has called you to do. You have built the ark. You have gone inside. You have had the door closed. And now you're going for the ride of your life as God lifts you up above the floodwaters. Oh, the others are drowning and screaming and hollering and oh, saints of God. And we look out the window and say, wow, wow. You like that, and you say, thank God. Thank God I had ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Thank God I walked in obedience. Thank God I did what God said to do. That could be me right now. That could be me out there struggling to swim, trying to overcome the waves, trying to overcome the deep. Saints of God, the blessing and the curse often come together. And the blessing of God is for those who walk in obedience. The blessing of God is for those who are able to do what God has called them to do. That's amazing. I watch the news and I hear now all these little reports of the things that they're saying that others may have been saying the whole time. And now they're saying all this stuff about coronavirus. And they're asking all these questions. Why is everybody who got the shot getting coronavirus more than everybody else who didn't get the shot? Oh, now everybody's going, They're like, keep that on the down low. And there are so many other little things that are happening, especially over the past couple of years. And there are so many little things. And that is why we have to hear from God. We have to hear from God. And saints of God, we have to walk in obedience to the ways of the Lord, the things of God. And I'm not saying you shouldn't get the shot or you should get the shot. You know, that's between you and the Lord. But I tell you, Arsenio Hall said things that make you go, Right? Hallelujah. And saints of God, there's a lot more going on in the world and in life than you and I could even imagine. The extent of things that are going on, and we're thinking and we're trusting and we're putting our hope in the wrong things many times because we believe the report of the world, and we have to hear from God. We must learn how to hear from God. Saints of God, don't allow the world to distract you. Learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. God will sustain you. He will keep you. He will make a way for you. The blessing and the curse, they often flow together. God wants to lift up his people. He wants to sustain you as you go through the challenges and the difficulties of life. One person may get a sickness or a disease and they get healed, and another may not. But each one has to hear from God. And we have to walk with the Lord so that we know what the will of God is for us. Hallelujah. And each person has to walk that walk because God has an interception coming. There's an intersection that he is going to meet them at. Hallelujah. Because God knows. God knows what it's going to take to bring redemption to everyone. And once it comes to your house, once it comes to your house, oh, saints of God, you can rest assured that God is going to reach your house. God wants to reach your house. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring deliverance. He wants to bring all of the attributes of the fullness of God. He is trying to clean up the vessel so he can pour into it. And sometimes you got to put it on the heavy pot dish extra heat cycle and give it a little boost of extra cleaner in the dishwasher so that those stubborn stains and stuck on grime can be pounded off in the heavy duty cycle. And some people have to go that way. Other people, they can go in the short cycle. You put it in, you put it on quick wash, right? Quick wash. Done in 20 minutes. Done. It's like, glory to God. But some people need the long cycle. Some people need the long cycle. Sometimes they even need to be scrubbed before they put in the cycle. Right? Hallelujah. Some of that stuff, you know, that's not coming off in there. So you bring out the steel wool. Right? And the comet. Shh. And God knows what each person needs to be made whole, to be made clean. And so we don't have to be discouraged. All we have to do is say, Lord, they're in your hands. God, I commit them to you. Lord, have your way in their life. God, make a way for me. Lord, help me to overcome. Lord, help me that I may be able to be faithful. Let me stay faithful to God. My job is to allow the fruit of the Spirit of God to flow in through my life so that I can experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. I'm supposed to be manifesting all of this fruitfulness in God so that as the Spirit of God is at work in my life so that I can hear prophetically what the Spirit of God is saying, so that I can see in the Spirit what God is doing, and so that I can operate and do what God has called me to do as the unctioning of God enables me, so that there can be a full manifestation of God in whatever it is that's concerning me. And it's not easy to stay the course because Satan is going to make you look at the waves and hear the screams of the drowning. But God says, I'm lifting you up. I'm lifting you up. What's happening outside the ark is not for you. It is for them. And you and I are able to be lifted up in God. And the world is in chaos and confusion. They say, go this way. Then they say, no, wait, go that way. And then the next thing you know, they're like, no, go back over this way. And the next thing you know, they're going that way. And then and they've got everybody run. Next thing you know, they're like the Keystone Cops. Everybody's banging into each other, trying to go around. And everybody's saying, and they're like, no, let's go back to the way it was before. And this is the world we live in. And saints of God, when you're being confused by all this thing that we're looking at and we're hearing, it can be discouraging. It can cause you to be brought down. It can rob you of your joy, of your faith in God, of your peace, and of your sound mind. But God says, trust in the Lord. Do not lean to your own understanding. In other words, don't even trust your own way of thinking. Whatever you're thinking, don't trust it. Go back to the Word of God and say, Lord, show me. God, give me a revelation. Help me to understand. God says, I'm the computer that controls you to tell you what to do. Don't worry about anything else. I will make a way for you, or you will short circuit in the deep waters. And you'll find that our connection will be broken. You won't be able to know what the Spirit of God is saying. You won't know what the will of God is because you've been drowned out and short-circuited. And now you're confused and you're in a bad state. But God says, stay in the ark. Stay in the ark. Don't dive out there trying to save anybody. Don't throw out lifelines. You say, Lord, it's all in your hands. It's in your hands. God, I'm trusting in you. When the storm is going on and the winds are blowing and the hurricane winds are flowing, the Word of God says, stay under the shelter of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You wait for the sun to come out. When the sun comes out, you know it's time to leave the ark. If the sun isn't shining, you stay in that secret place under the shadow of the Almighty. You allow the Spirit of God to be your covering. You allow God to manifest himself in your life. The blessing and the curse, they come together. And even as all of these things are happening, God manifests himself. It says, all flesh that moved on the earth, it perished. Birds and cattle and beasts and every swarming thing that swarms upon the earth and all mankind. For all that was on the dry land, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, died. Hallelujah. The word there for the Spirit of life is the word ruah, right? The ruah, everything that relied on the breath of God to live, everything that had life in its breath, died. Hallelujah. And so all of humanity drowned. All of humanity died. And so verse 23, it says, thus he blotted out every living thing that was upon the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky. And they were blotted out from the earth. And only Noah was left together with those that were with him in the ark. And saints of God, the word of God didn't say that his kids were righteous. It said that he was righteous. Hallelujah. It didn't say his children were righteous, and they were old enough to have wives. Hallelujah. Saints of God, don't underestimate God's covering and how far it reaches into your life. Do not underestimate the walk of righteousness that you represent and how much God can cover your household, your family, your lineage. God's arms can reach. They can reach. And that is why our job is to just stand in the gap. We pray. We seek the face of God. We trust in the Lord. We stay in the place of obedience, and the blessing of God will be upon us. Just like David, how many of David's descendants God spared because of him? From generation to generation after generation, God said over and over again in Kings and Chronicles, over and over again, but because of my servant David, God had mercy. God spared them. God gave grace to them. How much is God giving grace or pouring out grace into your family, into your children, your children's children, because of your faithfulness, because of your trust in God? The hand of the Lord is not too short that he cannot save. God is able. Hallelujah. We stand. The whole house of Noah. God said, you call them. You call them into the ark. Noah called his children and their spouses, and they came into the ark. They obeyed. They listened. And if your children are willing to listen, God can continue to do a great work in their life. All you do is you just be faithful to God. Oh, saints of God, if for no other reason, they probably said, well, my father is crazy. He's been building this ark. We might as well go for the ride. Hallelujah. Right? You might as well. I'm sure it's like, come on, kids. It's time to get in the ark. God says, we're going for a ride. Come on, it's going to rain. And we're all going to go for a ride in the ark. And they were probably saying, well, you invested 120 years in this thing. I guess we ought to at least go for the first ride. Hallelujah. And if for no other reason, they just wanted a ride in the big boat. But guess what? God saved them. God saved them. I don't care why you obey God. Just obey God. It doesn't matter what the reason is for serving the Lord, for coming into the house of God. You come into the house of God. Because as you come in, God will seal the deal. He will seal the deal. And he will move. And you will be able to see great and mighty things as the hand of God goes to work. Oh, saints of God, while others are being blotted out, you will be raised up. Hallelujah. You will be being raised up. The water prevailed upon the earth, verse 24 says, 150 days. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, the water prevailed. But guess what? So did the ark. It rose above the waters. Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't matter how bad the world gets. No matter what it is, God will raise you up when you are under the covering of God. Oh, hallelujah. So don't give up in your praying. Don't give up in your abiding in the word of God. Don't give up in your fellowshipping with the believers. Don't give up being in one place where the move of God can show up and do amazing and powerful things. God wants to impact the world. Hallelujah. An outpouring causes flooding that impacts the world. Oh, hallelujah. The flooding of God will impact the whole world. It will impact everybody in your life. The Spirit of God wants to move. The Spirit of God can do amazingly, abundantly more than we could ever ask or even imagine. That is why Jesus said in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He loved the world. He loved the world, and he gave his Son for the sins of the world. Oh, the blessing and the curse, they come together. Jesus had to suffer and bleed and die so that you and I can have life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Noah represents new life. He represents a fresh, brand new start for humanity, for the world. Noah is our great, 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 great grandfather. Hallelujah. 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 And we all go back to him. All of us, every last one of us go back to him. Because everyone else was drowned in the flood, and Noah became the new Adam and the new Eve in his lineage and started humanity over again. And saints of God, don't underestimate the love of God in our lives. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Verse 17, God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. The word there for judge is the word condemn, to condemn or to tear down or to ruin or destroy. But he came to give us life. He came to save us. Why? Because the world is already condemned. It's already condemned. It's already been judged. It's done. It's just a matter of waiting for the sentence to be carried out. And so God is here to save. He's here to redeem. And as the world is drowning, God is saying, get on the ark. Get in the ark. And you and I are calling each generation to get into the ark. In verse 18 of John 3, it says, he who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged or condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, saints of God, you and I are being redeemed out of a dying, drowning world. The world is going down, and God is raising you up. Hallelujah. And so in Genesis 9, God blesses Noah, verse 1, and his sons. And he says to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Oh, saints of God, that is the upper room experience that you and I are looking to achieve. God is saying, be filled with his Spirit and then go into the world and testify of the things of God. Multiply. Oh, when the Spirit of God moved, everybody was impacted in the whole town. There was a move of God in the midst of the city of God because of those who were on one accord in one place. The sound was so great, the power was so great that it caused the people in the town to be drawn to them. And they were transformed by the testimony of God, and they each heard the word of God in their own language. And saints of God, you and I have the power to impact the world. When the Spirit of God moves in your life, don't be distracted by all these other things. Just be the light of Christ. Be the witness to the world that God has called us to be. God is taking care of your house. You take care of His house. Allow the Spirit of God to move. Allow the Spirit of God to have His way in your life. You be faithful to God. Trust in Him. Look to Him. He will make a way, even when it seems impossible. Verse 7 says, as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. This is what God has called us to do. Go into all the world. He says, make disciples of every nation. Hallelujah. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Let the Spirit of God come into your life so there can be a downpour of the Spirit of God all around you, so that God could bring in the flood waters, so that some will be able to experience the ability to be lifted up in the Spirit of God and allow God to be glorified. Verse 8 says, God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him. Hallelujah. Notice who God is speaking to now. You see, before it was just Noah by himself. But after a ride on the ark, now everybody's hearing from God now. Now the whole house is hearing from God. All of a sudden, now even the sons are like, well, let me hear what the Lord is saying. I'm willing to listen now. And God will bring a flood ride experience into people's lives, and that will cause them to want to listen to what the word of the Lord says. And saints of God, don't underestimate the power of a ride in the ark. Don't you underestimate the power of a ride in the ark with all those stinky animals and all those weird noises and creepy things, all that stuff that's going on. There's a whole story about what was going on in the ark for 40 days. Oh, my goodness gracious. But I tell you, when you get out, I'm telling you what, you're going to be wanting to hear from God. You will be ready to listen to the voice of the Lord. He says, behold, I myself establish my covenant with you and with your descendants ever after you. Notice it's personal. God says, now I'm going to set up a covenant. I'm going into a contractual agreement with not only you, but you and your children, your whole lineage, your household, your family. Guess what? You and I were under that. We are under that. That's why Jesus had to come to seal the deal with his blood. He covered it. And we are having faith and trust in God because of what Christ has done in our lives. Oh, saints of God, God wants to heal, deliver, and set free. God wants to raise us up. Whatever it is that you need, you bring it before the Lord. God is able. God will give you direction. What is the point in praying if you can't hear what God is saying? Noah's sons even said, let me hear what God is saying. It's not just about talking. It's about the listening. Those who heard the Spirit of God when it came, when the move of God came in the upper room, they all came with ears to hear. They were hearing what God was saying. They were hearing what God was doing. So they came to see what the Spirit of the Lord was doing. It always begins with hearing. You gotta have ears to hear, and then God will show you something. Noah listened, and then he built the ark so that people would have something to see. And once the people saw it, even his own house, they were the first to get on board. And that is why you and I have to be witnesses in our own families, in our own house, in our own connection. We have to help people see. Remember when we were going through this and that happened and this situation happened? Well, this is what happened. We prayed, we talked to God, and we asked God for his help. And this is what God did. And we helped them to see. First we testify, then we help them see. We tell them so that they can hear. And then we show them how we got to where we are. And so many of us, we're blessed of God. God makes a way. He does amazing things. But your own kids don't know that you put faith in God to get there. They don't even know that what you did. They don't even know that you prayed and that you interceded. They don't know about you crying at your bedside at night, laying awake at night, just crying out and calling upon their name. They don't know any of those things because nobody is telling them. So they have nothing to hear that gives them something practical and tangible to see. And that is why we can't hold back our testimony. That is why we cannot hold back our story. But we have to let the word of God manifest itself in our life. That's why Joel 2:23 says, "Rejoice, O sons of Zion. Be glad, the Lord your God, for he has given you the early rain for your vindication. And he has poured down for you the rain, the early and latter rain as before." God wants to bring the fruitfulness of God into your life. Don't be discouraged by the rain, but let the rain be a blessing for you that will raise you up. The more it comes, the more you rise. And the greater the challenge, the greater the experience and the victory of God working in your life. James 5:7-8 says, "Be patient, brethren, for the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets early and late rains." You and I are waiting for Jesus to return, but in the meantime, we're bearing fruit. We're letting the rain come into our lives so that it can just provide nutrients for the fruitfulness of God, so that we can bring forth the testimony of the Lord. And so be patient. Strengthen your heart, he says in verse 8. "For the coming of the Lord is near." Oh, saints of God, the Lord is coming. Refresh yourself in the rain. Hallelujah. Oh, don't be discouraged by the rain, but let the rain come down. Let it pour into your life. Allow the worship of God to be manifested in your life so that you can find yourself in the company of all those who know the power of God. Expect the downpour. Expect the rain of God to come in so that you can know him like never before, washed and new, fresh by the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
We receive your rain.
Hallelujah.
We receive your rain. Like a flood, like a flood, we receive your love when you come. Like a flood, we receive your love when you come. Like a flood, we receive your
the witnesses you've called us to be to the world. that we would be able to make connections, that we would speak the word, and that it would come alive in the midst of us, that the Spirit of the Lord would be glorified, and that the manifestations of God would be evident all around us for people to see, that souls would be saved, that new life would be established, and that even when the troubles of this world come along, they would end up being a blessing for the people of God. Help us, O God. Use us, Lord. Mold us, shape us, enable us. In Jesus' name we pray and we give you thanks. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah.
With a new future to tell. For the dry season is over. There is a cloud beginning to swell. The skies heavy with blessing. Lift your eyes.